In today's news headlines, a massive fire in Shasta County, Northern California, has been burning over the weekend, tearing through 100,000 acres, forcing the evacuation of thousands and destroying hundreds of homes in its path. So far, six lives have been claimed, including that of a 70-year-old woman and her two great-grandchildren aged 4 and 5. A firefighter and a rescue worker have also died, and seven people remain missing. Here is one survivor of the car fire speaking with USA Today on Sunday.
Well, everybody else had left, and the wind had come up to 50 miles an hour or more, and there was just all kinds of debris flying around in the air and hot embers and hot leaves coming down all over the yard. I figured I better get out of here.
That's a survivor of the car fire, a fire that has continued to burn as a deadly combination of high temperatures and high winds drive it, conditions directly linked to the ongoing human-driven warming of the planet. The watchdog group Public Citizen released a report late last week called Extreme Silence, how the U.S. media have failed to connect climate change to extreme heat in 2018. That report examined media coverage by national and local newspapers and TV networks in the period between January 1st and July 8th, 2018, and found that only a small percentage of stories covering extreme temperatures explicitly mentioned climate change. Later on our show today, we'll speak with Thanu Yakupitiyage of 350.org to survey the global heat wave that has enveloped the planet and how media outlets cover them, as well as what climate justice activists are planning. Instead of addressing climate change, President Donald Trump over the weekend pivoted to his favorite topic, immigration. He tweeted angrily, "I would be willing to shut down government if the Democrats do not give us the votes for border security, which includes the wall, must get rid of lottery, catch and release, etc., and finally go to system of immigration based on merit. We need great people coming into our country," end of quote. Meanwhile, the ACLU has filed a new set of documents in federal court showing how some immigrant parents were separated from their children twice, shortly after several fathers were reunited with their children. Immigration and Customs Enforcement gave them forms with three options, one of which was to opt for voluntary deportation of the child and parent together. That option was pre-selected for them by ICE on the forms. When the fathers tried to select another option of being deported on their own, they were separated from their children without even getting the chance to say goodbye. Later on our program, we'll speak with Ben Wolcott of Make the Road New York about a report called Bankrolling Oppression that his organization helped to write, linking Trump's immigration policies to the growth of private prisons and how big banks are investing in them. News emerged over the weekend that President Trump had met privately with a publisher of the New York Times, A.G. Sulzberger, earlier this month. The meeting was reportedly about Trump's treatment of the press, constant allegations of fake news, and the declaration that the media are the, quote, enemy of the people. Trump tweeted his impression of the July 20th meeting, calling it a good and interesting meeting, and that he, quote, spent much time talking about the vast amounts of fake news being put out by the media and how that fake news has morphed into the phrase enemy of the people. Sad! Exclamation point. Mr. Sulzberger then issued a 5-paragraph statement saying he warned the president that, quote, this inflammatory language is contributing to a rise in threats against journalists and will lead to violence. The infamous Koch brothers have funded a study of Medicare for All through the Mercatus Center at George Mason University in Virginia. Unsurprisingly, the report estimates the cost of insuring all Americans through the government to be far too high. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who has championed Medicare for All, slammed the report's findings, saying, quote, if every major country on earth can guarantee health care to all and achieve better health outcomes while spending substantially less per capita than we do, it is absurd for anyone to suggest that the United States cannot do the same. Senator Sanders added, this grossly misleading and biased report is the Koch brothers' response to the growing support in our country for Medicare for All program. Meanwhile, the Koch Donor Network met over the weekend in Colorado Springs, Colorado, during which network co-chair Brian Hook sharply criticized Trump's policies on immigration and tariffs, as well as the, quote, tremendous lack of leadership in government and the, quote, deterioration of the core institutions of society. Here is Charles Koch addressing the gathering of powerful donors seeking to change government.
We're just getting started because we have more opportunities in front of us than I ever imagined. So all we have to do to capture them is to do the very thing that made Frederick Douglass such an amazing principled social change entrepreneur. Stand by our principles at whatever cost. Resist all temptations in short-term gain to deviate from them.
That's billionaire Charles Koch addressing the Koch Donor Network at a gathering over the weekend. The Koch brothers are notorious for their deep influence in Washington in favor of elite billionaires over the interests of ordinary Americans. High on the Kochs' wish list is seeing Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh be confirmed. Bloomberg reported today that, quote, 6 years before President Donald Trump nominated him for the Supreme Court, Judge Brett Kavanaugh sided with Trump Entertainment Resorts' successful effort to thwart a unionization drive at one of its casinos. Meanwhile, liberal stalwart Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg spoke in New York on Sunday and said she was planning to remain on the court for at least another 5 years. The 85-year-old spoke to a theater audience after a play and called herself a, quote, flaming feminist. The Transportation Security Administration on Sunday revealed the existence of a surveillance program called Quiet Skies. According to the Washington Post, federal air marshals have for years been quietly monitoring small numbers of U.S. air passengers and reporting on in-flight behavior considered suspicious even if those individuals have no known terrorism links. In international news, the teenage Palestinian activist Ahed Tamimi has been freed after more than 6 months in Israeli captivity. Tamimi made international headlines after she was jailed for slapping an armed Israeli soldier in defense of her cousin who was shot. The young woman returned home triumphantly as hundreds of supporters gathered around.
From the house of the martyr, I say the resistance continues until the occupation is removed. All female prisoners in jail are strong, and I thank everyone who stood by me while I was in prison and who stood with all women prisoners.
That's Ahed Tamimi, the 17-year-old Palestinian activist who has become a symbol of resistance around the world. On our show tomorrow, our Palestine and refugees correspondent, Huwaida Araf, will join us from Ramallah to discuss Tamimi's release and related news. In Afghanistan, the Taliban has said that it held a meeting with U.S. government officials in Qatar a week ago. The meeting was apparently held without Afghan government officials present, which is unusual. The U.S. State Department neither confirmed nor denied that the meeting took place. Taliban officials told press that Alice Wells, a top South Asia diplomat at the State Department, was present at the meeting. In Moscow, Russia, thousands of people protested on Sunday against a government plan to increase the retirement age. The protest was organized by the Libertarian Party, and activists chanted slogans critical of President Vladimir Putin.
Putin! 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 Putin!
Cambodians went to the polls to vote in elections over the weekend, with the ruling party of Prime Minister Hun Sen declaring victory on Monday. No one was surprised by the outcome, given that Mr. Hun Sen has been Asia's longest-serving leader. Last year, a popular opposition party was dissolved by the courts. That party's leaders issued a statement saying Sunday's vote was a, quote, sham election, and that, quote, what was left of a democracy in name only has been replaced with outright dictatorship. Also voting in elections are Zimbabweans, an historic vote given that it is the first time the nation of Zimbabwe has held elections after longtime ruler Robert Mugabe was ousted. The current president of Zimbabwe, 75-year-old Emmerson Mnangagwa, who helped to push Mugabe out, is facing a challenge by a 40-year-old lawyer named Nelson Chamisa. Mr. Mugabe threw his weight behind Chamisa. And that does it for today's headlines.